a point was made this morning. There are biblical accounts of which we learn from a young age that we tend to learn the basic facts of what are often called Bible stories. I tend to shy away from that. They're biblical events and biblical accounts. A story is something that you tell children at nighttime that involves three little pigs or Goldilocks. But these biblical accounts are things of which we learn very early in life. But sadly, some folks never move beyond what they learned in a children's Bible class. We engaged in a study of the walls of Jericho this morning from the perspective of studying it from a mature perspective. More than a surface study, but drawing out what we could, especially from the point that the Hebrews writer made. Hebrews 11:30, by faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. We looked at various details concerning Israel and their insurgency into the land of Canaan, how God led them to a position where they would be able to divide and conquer the land north and south, one half at a time. We looked at the challenges surrounding the taking of this city of Jericho, the nature of the wall, a lower retainer wall, 12 to 15 feet high, and on top of it was another stone mud brick wall, 20 to 26 feet high. And then there was an inner wall up an earthen embankment that was also 20 to 26 feet high, and the bottom stood some 46 feet above ground level. A mammoth of a wall that Israel faced as they marched around the city. We asked the question, how did the walls of Jericho fall by faith? And we looked at how God supplied the instructions, telling Joshua, you march around that city once a day for 6 days. You let the men that are armed, those 2.5 tribes, Reuben, Gad, the half tribe of Manasseh, lead the way. They're followed by the trumpets. And then those are followed by the Ark of the Lord. And then the rear guard, the rear ward, the rest of the military force, the men of war were to follow. On the seventh day, they were to compass the city 7 times. The priests were to blow with the trumpets. All the people were to shout, and the walls would fall down flat. God supplied the instructions. Joshua applied the instructions, sharing God's explicit instructions with Israel. We're going to do what God said. God's existing instructions with Israel. Oh, you 2.5 tribes that have already said you're going to lead the way, you're going to do it here also. And God's implicit instructions. God didn't tell Joshua, thou shalt not shout until, but Joshua understood what God meant when he said, you shout on the seventh day. That meant you don't start talking on the first, second, third, fourth, fifth, or sixth day. We looked at how these walls fell by faith. And then we began looking at some ideas of what we can learn from the walls of Jericho. This event is listed in Hebrews 11 as one of Scripture's great exhibitions of faith. And we noted that looking at the walls of Jericho can show us just what faith does. First, we noted that faith thinks. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, Hebrews 11:1. Faith involves evidence. It's not a blind leap in the dark or a step out onto an untested limb. Faith involves evidence. Faith thinks about what the evidence proves and thinks about where the evidence points. Hebrews 11 is a series of examples of what faith can accomplish. And as we noted this morning, it is said before all of these examples and immediately following all of these examples that these people obtained a good report, that is, martyreo. They became witnesses by faith. Now, a witness is someone that supplies evidence, and that's exactly what Hebrews 11 is case after case of evidence as to what faith can do. Faith stands on evidence, and their faith, which stood on evidence, supplies us with further evidence. That was the case with Joshua. Joshua already knew the reality of God, but God gave him more evidence when he said, hey, Joshua, you look, those people in Jericho were scared to death. The way he put it was, see, I've given into thine hand Jericho, because Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. God gave Joshua evidence that would point him in a direction that far exceeded where mere tangibles could arrive at conclusions. Faith thinks about what the evidence proves, about where the evidence points, and we also noted that faith thinks enough to withstand fake facts. We looked at some of the efforts at undermining the biblical record that have taken place from so-called scholars, know-it-alls. Now, as a side note, Proverbs 1:7 said, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. A person that despises wisdom and instruction is one that thinks he needs it no more because he knows all that he needs to know. That would be a know-it-all. So according to Proverbs 1:7, fools despise wisdom and instruction. Those who despise wisdom and instruction are know-it-alls. So a know-it-all is a fool. Some of these folks we saw this morning that thought they knew it all, no, they didn't. We noted that Scripture gives a date of about 1407 B.C. for Israel's entrance into Canaan, and we don't have time to revisit all of that. But we also looked at some archaeologists and their efforts, and we noted something of a yo-yo, some claiming that the city fell in 1550 B.C. and that Israel would have had no city to conquer when they passed by Jericho. And then others who say that the biblical account holds true. We noted that the facts, especially those that Miss Kenyon, who tried to say that the biblical account was inaccurate, we noted that the evidence that she put forward didn't really stand up to scrutiny. Faith thinks. It's not a matter of, oh, I'm going to believe it because Mama always said it. Faith thinks about what the evidence proves, about where the evidence points, and faith thinks enough to withstand the fake facts. We also looked at the fact that faith trusts. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell. Faith, the Greek word is pistis. It means persuasion, conviction, reliance. And we noted to be persuaded by, convicted of, or reliant upon anything involves trust. Faith involves trust. We think about Joshua. He trusted God's power. God said, I've given you the city. God's mind had decided it. God's might would accomplish it. And Joshua believed it because Joshua told the people before the walls ever fell, shout, because the Lord has given you the city. He spoke of it in past tense, Joshua 6:16. He trusted what God had to say. Faith trusts God's power. Faith trusts God's plan. We noted how God's plan would have appeared somewhat unorthodox to most folks. Joshua held to it. So did Israel. The result was devastating for Jericho. And faith trusts God's presence. Again, we examined how subtle details throughout God's battle plan emphasized His presence with His people. He was with Joshua when He said, you take off those shoes, you're standing on holy ground. He was among His people, those that were bearing the trumpets passed on before the Lord. The ark was a reminder of God's presence. And then those Hebrew yobel, the jubilee horns, the ram's horns, declared the very presence of God. Faith still trusts God's plan. Faith still trusts God's power. Faith still trusts God's presence. And that's seen in the way people live. Those who trust God's power today will trust in God's Word to save souls. They'll trust God's Word to replenish the world with holiness and to exalt nations with righteousness. They won't rely on human tactics. They won't rely on politicians and parties. Those who trust God's plan will hold to His simple plan and pattern for the church. They'll hold to His simple plan and pattern for saving souls and soul winning. They'll hold to the simple plan of salvation and how to be saved. And those who trust God's presence will act like it in life, not just when they're gathered with God's people, but in everything they do. They'll trust God's presence, therefore they want to hear what He has to say. They open the book at home. They'll trust God's presence. They know that God wants to hear their hearts, so they'll pray to Him. Faith still trusts God's plan, His power, and His presence. And now, with what time we have left this evening, we want to move forward. Faith thinks. Faith trusts. And a faith that trusts God can be seen in the way a person lives, which leads to the fact that faith toils. James 2:17, even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Now, we consider Israel. Would Jericho's walls have fallen if Israel had marched around the city once a day for 5 days and then shouted on the sixth day? Would the walls have fallen if the people marched around the city for 13 days and then shouted on the 14th day? Would the walls have fallen if the priests used some tambourines instead of trumpets? Or if the trumpets came behind the ark instead of in front of it? Would the walls have fallen if the people had shouted all 6 days and on the seventh day? Would the walls of Jericho have fallen if the people whispered silently and quietly among themselves? Because, hey, that order not to speak, that came from Joshua, not God, right? Would the walls have fallen if the people marched around the city once a day for 6 days, seven times on the seventh day? The priests blew with the trumpets, and then all of Israel held hands and sang Kumbaya. Would the walls have fallen? No. Because to ignore any of these details would be to alter God's battle plan. They trusted God enough to stick to the plan. Faith toils. Faith works. A living faith is a faith that is active. And a faith that toils is a faith that alters nothing. Israel stuck to God's plan. Now, did they earn victory by shouting? Did they merit those walls falling by marching? No, not according to God. God said it was a gift. Joshua 6:2, I have given into thine hand Jericho. God said, I've given it to you. They'd not earned it. Joshua agreed because he told the people, shout, for the Lord hath given you the city. Yes, they had to march. Yes, they had to shout. Yes, the trumpet blowers had to blow. Yes, the ark carriers had to carry. Yes, they actually had to be quiet for a while. But no one had to try to scale a wall or breach it. An effort that resulted in much loss of life. God gave them the gift of life instead of death. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now consider this. Jericho was a gift from God. God said, I've given it to you. But they had to go get it. So it was with Jericho and Israel. So it is with us and salvation. Suppose you get a call from the radio station, and we've used this illustration before. Congratulations, Ron Landis. You've just won $500. We just need you to come down to WWL and collect your prize. Now, if Ron doesn't go across the river to WWL, is he going to get that money? No. If he goes to the TV station, did he earn that money? No, it's still a gift. But he had to go get it. That's how it was with Israel and Jericho. That's how it is with us and the salvation that God has offered. Ephesians 2:8, for by grace are you saved, through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Salvation is a gift. It's not of ourselves. We've not earned it. God has a gift that is available to every man, but each man must be motivated by faith to go get that gift. The faith that toils alters nothing and it earns nothing. It's a gift. Oh, and by the way, the faith that toils boasts nothing, because Ephesians 2:9 says, it's not of works, lest any man should boast. Friends, the person that obeys the gospel of Jesus Christ has no reason to pat himself on the back or brag. All he did was go get a gift. Now, we think about Israel. When Israel did what God instructed, God did what He promised. God said, when they shout, the walls of the city will fall down flat. That's what they did. That's what happened. Archaeology itself has shown that those walls that fell outward. You see an illustration here. And the mud brick rubble created a ramp that allowed an invading army to go straight up into this seemingly impenetrable city. God turned Jericho's high walls into a highway for His people to enter. Why? Because Israel simply did what God said, and God did what He promised. Faith toils, and when it does, God offers far greater rewards than the efforts could ever earn. Faith thinks, faith trusts, faith toils, and faith triumphs. God promised victory and supplied the strategy. Military genius Sun Tzu said, victorious warriors win first, then go to battle. But defeated warriors go to battle first, then seek to win. How sweet it is to know the victory is won before the battle ever starts. That's the assurance God gave to Israel. I've given you the victory. The city is yours. Go get it. So it was with those who followed Joshua. So it is with those who followed Jesus. 1 John 5:4, whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is our victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Faith is the victory. John 16:33, Jesus said, be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. Faith is the victory, and the victory is in Jesus. Thus we say with the Apostle Paul, thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Faith triumphs. Faith wins. Faith overcomes. Faith is victorious. We don't have to sit here and wring our hands and wonder which side is going to win in this spiritual battle between good and evil. The victory has already been achieved. The only question is, for which side will I fight? Those who truly trust God will enlist in His host, exist to His glory, and enjoy the rewards that He has for them. But those that opt to serve sin and Satan, by their very lives, their words, their actions, show that they don't trust God. And they do not trust that Jesus has already won the battle. In fact, those that choose to serve sin and Satan are showing that they hope Jesus is a liar and a loser. But faith is the victory. Faith triumphs. Joshua would ask a heavenly messenger with sword drawn, "Art thou for us or for our enemies?" The reply came back, "Nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come," Joshua 5:14. So often we go through life asking, "Is God on my side? Is God on my side?" And we fail to ask the real question, "Am I on God's side?" Friends, the walls of Jericho fell not because God was on Israel's side, but because Israel was on God's side. What about you? Are you on God's side tonight? Do you have a faith that thinks about God's evidence, trusts God's promises, toils to God's glory, and is triumphing in God's victory? Are you a child of God tonight? Have you been washed in the blood of the Lamb, baptized in the name of Christ? Are you an erring child of God who needs to come home? Why not let faith move you to go get that gift that He's provided? If you need to respond to the Lord's invitation, why not come forward tonight? Why not act on faith? While we stand together and while we sing.